Temple of Health radio show. So happy to have you with us today. I'm your host today. This is Dr. Rick Klofine coming to you from Temple of Health radio show and Millennium Healthcare. We're in Atlanta. We're a group practice here, a holistic group practice with a number of different practitioners. I'm a board-certified obstetrician gynecologist. I've been practicing in Atlanta for 20 years. Also have had a holistic practice through that time because my interest in natural healing and holistic medicine precedes my ever thinking about becoming a physician. For the last 7 or 8 years, I have discontinued delivering babies and doing surgery and going to the hospital. I just practice out of the office now. When I was having children, I was delivering babies, and I'm 56, and the bulk of my patients are still my peers, women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who are in transition in life and desiring support for those transitions that resonates with them and that they can feel good about and get behind. So when we do our interviews on the show here, we do interviews with authors on a wide variety of topics, including medicine and alternatives, natural healing, spiritual healing, shamanism, metaphysics and new physics, a bunch of different topics. When I saw that they had scheduled Pam Montgomery for the show and her book, Plant Spirit Healing, A Guide to Working with Plant Consciousness, I said, please schedule that one for me. I'd like to interview Pam because I knew her book. And one of the best parts about this show is that when we find people that we really like, we get to talk to them for an hour about pretty much whatever we want to talk about and have a conversation. It's pretty much how I see this show, as a conversation show. Pam is a herbalist throughout her life. Her biography of the various organizations that she's been involved with and multiple conferences she has taught at is quite amazing. It is a lifelong work with plants and herbs. She's an author. Her first book, Partner Earth, A Spiritual Ecology. The book we're dealing with, Plant Spirit Healing, A Guide to Working with Consciousness. In Danby, Vermont, is Sweetwater Sanctuary, the Partner Earth Education Center, and we'll get contact information about this wonderful reaching out work that Pam's doing. Her book speaks about plants and healing with plants and developing relationships with plants. Maybe a different type of relationship than many of us are used to in our life. I could talk about plants and herbs as healing plants that we take because they have a physical action on our body. And I could talk about them as foods that we eat and the impact that they have providing us with energy. I could talk about plants as medicines that change our biochemistry in many interesting ways, and positive, and if not used right, negative. And I could talk about plants as someone that, rather talking about, I talk to and develop a relationship with. This relationship for me came about when I was a young man and spent 5 years as an organic farmer. I was a suburbanite, a baby boomer, who was very disconnected from Mother Earth. And I found over the years that I spent on the farm that my brother and I had, and it was at the same time I was doing a lot of intensive spiritual work, that my relationship to the ground and my relationship to the plants that I tended shifted. And they shifted from them being something completely separate to me or something I was doing to a conversation like I'm talking to you now, and a conversation that I'm about to start with Pam. And Pam speaks to these issues about the spirits of plants and not only how they impact our body physically and biochemically, but how improper relationship with them, what their impact is spiritually in our relationship with them. Are you with us, Pam?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry for running on so long.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm excited to have the conversation with you.
Yes.
For the interest of our listening audience and to try to move into conversation together, could you just speak a little bit to the audience about plants in your life, just briefly, how that came about?
Well, it's been, as you mentioned earlier, it's been a lifelong process, and
yes,
it started at a very early age for me. I was one of those persons who had the good fortune to have grandparents that lived in the eastern hills of Kentucky, and they were the kind of folks that were, if you would want to use the expression, salt of the earth, so that's who they were. And they, you know, they didn't go back to the land. They never left the land. And so I got to spend my summers there, and my grandmother was this amazing person who she had very deep relationships with plants. She had plants all over the house, and then she had plants all outside, and of course they grew all their own food, and they had chickens and cows and pigs and all of it. And in the afternoon, she would go outside after she'd finished her work in the kitchen and her housework, and she'd go outside and she'd start to work with her plants, and she'd be picking and pruning, and she'd be talking the whole time. And one afternoon, I went up to her and I said, "Granny, who are you talking to?" And she said, well, in her very Kentucky accent, she said, "Well, you know, plants are just like people. They need friends, too." And so so what my grandmother did for me was she taught me, or she embedded in my beingness, that not only do you talk to plants, and that's what partly helps them grow in the way that they do, but you're supposed to talk to plants, and that you actually are supposed to have a relationship with plants, and that that's the way that it really is. And so I never got the message that you're crazy if you talk to plants. So I never got that message. I got the message that, oh, this is actually what we're supposed to do, and this is how we, you know, how we work with plants, and this is how we grow with plants, and we grow together in relationship with plants. And so being an avid gardener from my early 20s, that's what I've done all along, is like been in relationship with plants and worked to build my relationship into a very deep place with them. So that's where it started, was when I was little, and it never stopped.
So it's interesting because when I hear you talk, I think about my own life. And
right.
I think what you're saying is that you had a connection established through your life, in your upbringing, and that connection was just made deeper and deeper, connection to the plants, connection to the earth. Chris, this is something that I felt in my life I didn't have at all, really. And I think that most of the people that I see as patients, and many of my friends and the circles of people that I gather with, much of what we do in our spiritual practice is about trying to reconnect and deepen and find that connection and deepen that connection.
Well, the thing is with plants, I mean, I think, you know, as a child for me, it was, you know, it was on a childlike level. So there was that childlike innocence of, you know, being experiencing everything through my senses and just really, you know, getting it on a vibrational level that children are so good at doing. And then as I got older and I started to wanting to bring it more into a conscious level and to really understand, like, what is really going on here between plants and people. And, you know, that's when I wrote my book, Plant Spirit Healing. Those were some of the questions I was addressing, was like, well, what is really happening here? And the truth of the matter is, the real truth, is that we all, every single human being on this planet, is in relationship with plants. You have to be in relationship with plants, otherwise you wouldn't have your life. And so that's one of the things that I'm really trying to bring people into awareness about, is we take for granted our relationship to plants. And so we have this very given relationship of breath. So we exchange oxygen and carbon dioxide with plants. I mean, that is like so basic, but it is a relationship. It's part of how we wouldn't be here on this planet if it wasn't for that. And there's so many fundamental symbiotic relations we have with plants. It's, you know, plants make tissue from sunlight. We don't, you know, through photosynthesis, plants can make their tissue, which we then eat the plant and we make our tissue, but we can't do that from sunlight. They do that from sunlight. So, you know, on a very, like, you know, fundamental level, we are already in relationship with plants, and then once we bring it into consciousness, once we step outside the door and we take a deep breath and go, oh, I'm given my breath from these plants, then everything jumps up several notches once you bring it into consciousness. So that's what I'm trying to get people to do, is like be aware of the fact that they're living their life right now because of plants and trees.
Yeah, they're already completely connected just by the fact that they're
alive.
That's
right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's like you don't really have to go hunt for it. It's all right there. When you bring it up into consciousness, then it's like your relationship starts to build. And then you can build, just like with people, you know, you meet a person and, oh, hi, how you doing? And then you like them. And then, you know, you have another conversation and then you get together with them. It's the same with plants. It's like you begin to build your relationship with plants. So the reality is that we are connected physically, so on a physical level we're connected, and now there's, you know, there's amazing research coming out now about plants and their intelligent behavior and their intelligence, plant intelligence, and so now they're beginning to look at the fact that, you know, plants have been around for billions of years, and there was about 1.8 billion years ago was when the single algal population, some algae, started to thrive, and it was this algae population that started to, you know, have to make decisions and organize themselves, you know, in order to, like, be in an atmosphere, you know, a biosphere that would support life. And so what happened was they started to make decisions, and they started to organize, and they started to communicate. And some scientists are now saying that this activity that happened 1.8 billion years ago with the very primal plants was really the primary factor in the rise of higher types of psychological behavior and mind and all of that was that their ability to organize themselves, and that was the first step of the evolution of mind. And so if we look at that and we say, oh, so that means our cognitive abilities, oh, that came from plants too. So it's, you know, once you start to investigate it, it's like, wow, these plants are way more than what we've realized. And once we get conscious about it, it changes everything. Our relationship changes completely with them. And they're very excited that we're paying attention to them. They're very excited, too. They're like, oh,
yeah,
finally,
they're interested in the conversation.
They're right. So I don't know. I get kind of excited about this stuff, as you can tell. I get all excited and
yes,
start talking really fast. And, oh, there's so much to share about it.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And it's something worth getting excited about.
Because
the relationship and the awareness and the insight that you're talking about is what we need to have now as modern people, right now.
Exactly. Because, again, so here we go, back to plants. Plants always preceded their animal counterparts in evolution. So like a conifer tree, which has external, has cones on the outside, has external reproductive organs. So reptiles would be the animal counterpart to that. The conifers evolved first. And so the same with mammals, like angiosperms, which have internal reproductive organs, evolved first before mammals evolved. So my sense of it is that plants have always just preceded us in our evolution. And our evolution right now is of a spiritual nature. It's raising consciousness. It's like if human beings want to continue to be sentient species on this planet, they need to get it together, and they need to get it together now. They need to raise consciousness now. It's like we can't wait anymore. Like, you know, dress rehearsal's over. You know, the curtain's going up, and here we are, and we've got to get on with it. And plants are the ones that are just before us in our evolution, just preceding us in our evolution. So if we start to pay attention to plants and we start to let plants guide us, you know, in our evolution, then you know, we move to that next place. We move on our evolutionary path. And like I say, to me, it's in a spiritual way. So there's a reason why there's been this real kind of interest in plants. You know, it started with kind of psychotropic plants that alter the mind, and, you know, and then flower essences and, you know, plant spirit, working with plant spirits and, you know, working with plants on that, you know, energy, spiritual level, whatever you want to call it. There's a reason why people have gotten so interested in that in the last, you know, couple decades. You know, the plants are evolving. The plants are helping us evolve in consciousness to raise our awareness of how to be on this planet without destroying it. And I think that's really ultimately what it's about. It's like we can live on this planet in a peaceful way. We can do that. And if we are able to watch, you know, be guided by the plants who have been around, you know, for way longer than we've been around and have our 99.9% of the organisms on this planet are green beings. So they have figured out how to do it. They're very sustainable. They have figured out how to be on this planet in a sustainable way. We need to pay attention to them. We need to be guided by them so that we can be on this planet in a sustainable way. That's what I think is happening here, is it's an evolution that's going on right now. And plants are the ones to guide us in this evolution.
So the teachers that we need are in our lives already and everywhere around us.
Yes. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. I mean, even, you know, you spoke about one of the things that you mentioned to me earlier was one of your interests was like, what about people who live in cities? You know, what about that? You know, I mean, there are still plants in the city, and they're coming up through the cracks of the sidewalk.
Oh, amazing.
They're not going to be, you know, put down. They're there. And people absolutely can have relationships with plants even living in a city, because one of the amazing things about plants is that you can have what's called a non-local relationship with plants. So, you know, I mean, it's nice to have a plant in your presence. Of course that's nice. Just like, you know, your lover or your partner or whoever, boy, it's nice to have them you can talk to them on the phone and you can write letters, but boy, it's nice to have them in the flesh. It's the same with plants. However, you can be in communication with plants without them being present. And so this is another aspect of plants that people might not realize, is that you can have non-local, outside of time and space, relationships with plants, and they can still guide you, they can still help you, they can still heal you non-locally. They are amazing beings that we don't really even, I feel like we're only scratching the surface right now of understanding what incredibly, you know, magnanimous beings that they are. It's huge. It's huge.
Well,
how big this is.
I guess we have to expand our receptacle a little bit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We can hear more of what they have to say. When mm-hmm. you talk about the non-local aspect of working with plants, of course, there's certain plants that people work with that they seem to resonate with, you know,
yeah.
for themselves or with others, and it's like, hey, this really works for me.
Yeah.
You know, and they work with it and they give it to people, or they take it themselves and they work with it and they work, this really works. And then, sometimes you start to realize that when you move into the spiritual realm, beyond the physical properties and biochemical properties, but the more what we might call energetic properties or blueprint of the energy of that being, of that plant,
mm-hmm.
that as you say, that's something that you're aware of and can be present with, whether you have it in your hand or whether you're giving this to somebody or whether you're taking it.
That's right.
Or
mm-hmm.
not.
That's
and
right.
Once you can start to develop a relationship in that way, then the healing aspects of that plant can be available energetically with intent.
That's right. And it's really about being in relation, you know, building your relationship with the plant to the point at which the plant lives inside you. And this can happen. I've done it myself. Many of my students have done this, is that you get to a point in relationship with plants that it actually, there's no separation in the vibratory quality, the resonance, I might say, the resonance between you and the plant. And you can actually resonate at that same frequency as the plant. And so it's there. It's there all the time. It's there for you to call upon all the time. And you don't have to have it in physical form. So, yeah, so this is possible.
While this is coming out in your work and other people's work, this spiritual relationship with the plants, being clearly so, thank you very much for your very clear and well-organized book.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
Which I really appreciate the perspective that you bring to it. I think you keep it all in perspective, and I really like it. But when I look earlier than this current work that's happening over the last 10 to 15 years, let's say, or longer, where I see this non-local energetic relationship most clearly displayed or clearly understood by me is when you look at indigenous shamanism.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because these are the types of relationship that indigenous shamans in many different cultures all around the world
mm-hmm.
had with plants. And that doesn't mean that I, as an personally, that I idolize indigenous society or put it necessarily on a pedestal or anything like that. But there's certain aspects of it that I idolize, and
right.
one of it is the amazing understanding of indigenous shamans and their relationship to the world around them, which is, I feel, what you were just describing.
And I think, you know, the other thing for us to, I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about shamanism and shamans and all that kind of stuff right now, and you know, it's pretty popular and all that, but I believe that we all have as a birthright, you know, it's part of our birthright to be in communication with plants or with nature, you know, if you will, the animals, the plants, with nature, with the earth and all of that. And, you know, so you might want to call it working shamanically. I mean, so what does that mean? It really means working with the spirit that's in all of life. I mean, that's what shamans do. You know, they're working with the spirits, and they're you know, the spirit, and they have a relationship with the spirits to the degree that the spirits are gonna help them out. They're gonna work for them. They're gonna do stuff for them. And so that's what it is, I think, with traditional shamanism or traditional shamans, is that, you know, they have a very working relationship with their spirit allies. And we all have the ability to tap into spirit and to tap into the individual nature of spirit in a plant or in a tree or in the water or in stones or whatever it is. We have that ability. And we're talking about, you know, we're talking about, as one friend of mine would say, household shamanism, which is, you know, we're talking about daily. We're talking about every day in our lives, bringing spirit into our lives and working together. It's like making spirit manifest in just our daily walk. So it's not about, like, on Sunday morning we're going to go for an hour and a half and then we're going to do our spiritual thing. It's not about that. It's not about taking time out to go do that. It's that it's a part of us every minute. Every minute of our walk, this spirit is, you know, we're infused with this spirit. And when we come to that kind of recognition, which most indigenous cultures, I would say, had that kind of relationship with the earth and with the spirits of the earth and the plants and the animals, because they live so closely to it. And so when we come into that place of that conscious awareness that, oh my gosh, you know, there's spirit everywhere. It's all around me. It's everywhere. And I need to be in consciousness about it and then move into relationship with it. So yes, I hear what you say about the indigenous, the older traditions and the older indigenous cultures and the shamans. That's the way they lived, and I think that we can do that on, you know, just on a kind of a regular basis, on a daily basis, in our daily walk, without it having to be like a, you know, some big thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, and really, if you really look at indigenous shamanic societies, especially in the Amazon, that's what they were doing. Their shamanism is not about big spiritual practices. That's what we make it.
Right.
It's not. It's about the day to day. It's about crops. It's about living. It's about relationships between people. It's about just what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's what they deal with. They're not dealing with, you know, I mean, it's the day to day stuff they deal with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's all infused with spirit.
Mm-hmm. It's like there's no understanding of a separation.
Right.
From spirit.
Right.
It's like it doesn't exist for them, or it's not part of their, you know, their cultural milieu. It's not there as something separate. Whereas for us, what's happened for us over the last 2,000 years is we've gotten this thing plunked on top of us, or it's been part of our paradigm of, you know, dominion over. So, you know, we're greater than. We're the crown of creation. Human beings are the crown of creation, and, you know, we're greater than, and everything is here to serve us. And so we've had that paradigm, and we've also had the paradigm of a particular aspect of science that has said, you know, the earth is a machine, and, you know, when something a person's body is a machine, and when a part gets broken, then we fix it. And so there's just been this mechanical viewpoint of the earth, and that the earth is not a living organism. So we've been operating with that paradigm, whereas in other cultures, indigenous cultures, that paradigm doesn't exist. So there's no possibility to have a separation from spirit and from that which gives us life.
And look at what it's gotten us.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Right. Kind of a big fat mess, right?
So, kind of.
That's an understatement.
So, let's be practical. Since we're in a big fat mess,
uh-huh.
The best way to start to change it is to change ourselves.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And
start with yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And for the average person who's listening to our program,
mm-hmm.
and is like, this is sort of like, yeah, this sounds really interesting. I like using herbs, and then how about some easy, gentle, practical suggestions?
Well,
about how to deepen our relationships.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well, again, in many of the traditional, indigenous cultures, one of the things when a person wants a plant to be its ally, when they want a plant to really be its ally and to really work with it on other, on all levels. So we're talking physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We're talking on all levels, because plants have heart, soul, and spirit, just like people have heart, soul, and spirit. And so when you want to begin a relationship with a plant, you start by what they call dieting. That's the traditional term, dieting.
Dieta.
And dieting means taking the plant in. So that's one of the things I have my students do. It's like, my students, there's a whole process that they go through in building their relationship with plants. But one of those, it's real simple. Drink a tea of whatever it is that you want to be working with. Start drinking a tea of that, or maybe you would take a flower essence of that if it's not an edible plant, or maybe you'd be doing a tincture of it, an alcohol-based preparation, or maybe you would get the essential oil of it and you'd be getting the smell of it. So it's really, simply speaking, as you begin by start bringing the plant into your life. Spending some time together, yes, and spending some time together. And so maybe you want to bring a potted plant into your house, or maybe you have a garden and you want to grow that plant, or maybe that plant's growing right outside your doorstep, and it's like, maybe you say you live in one place and then you move, and then a year later this plant suddenly pops up outside your doorstep again like it was at the place you lived at before, and maybe you say to yourself,
I think when they represent themselves to you time and time again
right.
in different ways, and it could be funny ways.
Right.
Sometimes
they follow you
around.
Sometimes it's a
cartoon, or you're watching a commercial on the TV. And then...
Right. Exactly. They show up in different kinds of ways, and so that says to you, maybe this plant is trying to get my attention. So that's one of the things that I notice, is that there's plants out there that are actually are at work at getting our attention. They're trying to get our attention, and they come in different ways and how they get our attention, but they do. And then when they do, then we go, okay. And so then we start to pay attention to that, and we start to take it in our physical body as any way that we can, and we start to incorporate it, and then maybe we want to read everything we can get our hands on about it, and then we want to have it around a little bit, and then we start to see, the colors. I recommend that everybody get a 10x little handheld lens, one of the ones that they're called loops, and you can carry them around with you in your pocket or on a little necklace. But it's a 10x magnification, so that then you can look at the plant really closely. There's another whole entire world going on in that plant that you can't really see with your naked eye. But when you look at it, you realize, oh my gosh, look how gorgeous this is. And then you begin to make associations with the plant. So there's many kinds of associations with color and where it grows, and the form of the plant. So one of the little sayings is function follows form. So you've got the form of the plant and the function of that plant, physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually, oftentimes follows the form. So you begin to make associations that way. You look at it that way, and then there's a whole process of called felt sensation, which the feeling sensation that you receive in your body when you're with that plant. I mean, it's actually, I don't want to make it sound complicated. It's actually quite simple. It's really about hanging out with the plant. It's hanging out with the plant and or ingesting the plant, bringing the plant in, starting to feel what it feels like, what's it feel like inside your body? What kind of emotional response do you get from this plant? I mean, you just need to pay attention. It's really all you have to do. And actually, all you really have to do to start is walk outside the door and breathe.
Because as you breathe out and release that which no longer serves you, you are feeding the plants.
Right. And then you breathe in, you breathe in the oxygen.
Receive what they are giving. It's
Aini.
It's a sacred reciprocity. It's
right.
a deep relationship that's so deep that it's a pattern that's behind everything.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's to say that it's so deep. I mean, this relationship is so deeply...
It's fundamental.
It's fundamental. It's like foundation. like, you can't even live for, I don't know, how long is it before you're brain dead without breath? I mean, it's not very long. It's only a few minutes. So you can't live, I mean, you can live for 40 days without food, you know, but you can't live but a few minutes without breath.
Right.
And that breath, that oxygen, you know, comes straight from the plants, comes straight from all the green beings. That's where it comes from. So literally.
And it's something we all share.
We all share it. Every single human being. Yes.
And the breath that we take is also an interesting physiological function because it is a automatic function that we also have control over.
Right. So you don't have to think about it.
Right.
It just
right.
happens. And of course,
but it's very different than your heart. People
can
control the heart rate, but the average person, it's something you don't have control over, or your blood pressure. And but this is a fundamental function like that that you do have a relationship with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And of course, you know, when you think about breath and the relationship to spirit, you know, spiritus, the, you know, the Latin derivative of the word spirit, spiritus means breath. So here we are, you know, the spirit, this life-giving, to me, spirit is the vital principle held to give life. So this life-giving principle rides on your breath. Where's your breath come from? Comes from plants. It's your direct connection to spirit.
The relationship to spirit through plants can manifest in many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's been times where I've used plants in healing for myself or others, where the response that I've gotten was not always the response I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if I paid attention to what was going on, there was lots of wisdom to be had and learning to be had.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense to you?
Oh yeah, it totally. Yeah, it makes because you know plants because they are more than just their chemical constituents. You know, they're far more than that. And what I find is that When you you have plants that are your buddies, you know, your allies, the ones that you really like, and that ones probably ones that you use over and over because you have a relationship with them, and so you find that when you use those ones that you have, you know, have a pretty strong relationship with, what I find is that the treatments that I do are far more efficient and effective because my relationship with the plant is very deep. And then what happens, not only do things happen on a physical level and shift and change, but what begins to happen is the person becomes, they become filled more full of themselves. It's like they get filled full of their true essential nature. So not only, you know, does it affect them on a physical level, but it affects them emotionally, it affects them spiritually, you know, and things start to come together. And it's like, it's almost, and then on another level, so here's another level of this. So say a person, I work with a person with a plant spirit, and I don't give the physical plant to the person at all. So nothing like that happens. And yet what happens internally is that they come to a place of understanding deeply exactly what it is that they need to do for themselves on whatever level it is. And maybe it's physical. So maybe it's on a physical level, or maybe it's on some other level. But they come to a deep understanding inside themselves what that really is, and it's really because of the plant. The plant has helped them be more present in themselves to understand exactly what it is they need to be walking the path they're here to walk. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm talking about with that?
It makes sense to me. I'd like to voice for the listening audience and maybe for myself as well. I want to be really clear, and you please feedback with me here, that for both you and I and for people doing this work, plants are more than just something that's growing in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
These are beings and spiritual beings
uh-huh.
in and of themselves and families of beings and that exist that we can have. When we talk about relationship with them, we're not talking about, you know, we're not using an analogy.
No.
No, we're talking about having a relationship and with them the same way you have a relationship with your neighbor, you know,
that's
or
right. Right. Anybody. Or your lover.
Or your lover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it can go that deep, believe me.
Yeah.
It can go
that deep. Yes, totally. Or deeper, you know, I mean.
We have a little joke in my household. It's like, everything was fine between us until that white pine tree came into my life. So, yes, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, most relationships do contain some give and take.
Yeah. Yes.
So I just want to be clear that that is what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to move into relationship with plants to the point at which not only are they're your allies and they can heal you on a physical level, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and help you evolve to the next level of consciousness. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that ability that plants have. So, yeah.
I'd like to carry further with that idea in that conversation. We have been talking about all plants, any plant, really.
Mm-hmm.
Any plant you can develop this type of relationship with. There is the area of psychotropic plants and strong medicine plants that have mind manifesting effects, that have many names applied to them and have been villainized over the years, plants that are used for healing, that produce consistent alterations, that are more easily recognized whether you're connected to the plant or not. Spiritual medicines from all over the world that come out of the desert, such as San Pedro cactus and peyote, that come out of the jungles, such as ayahuasca, and out of the mountains, mama coca, and all the different entheogens, not always entheogens, but plants that have the potential of manifesting a divine experience. Sometimes I think these are such loudmouth plants
mm-hmm.
and such strong beings because we need something to shake us good mm-hmm. right now.
Well, they certainly have gotten our attention. That's for sure. And so I think that's part of what purpose they have served. It's kind of like the wake up, you know, like the 2x4 up against the head. It's like, hello.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's a good analogy because
yes.
our spiritual lessons that are the 2x4 up against the head, of course, I'd like to avoid.
Yes.
I'd like to move into the spiritual lessons so I don't have to
yes.
get to the 2x4 that I see, that
right.
I feel the tap on the shoulder.
Right.
Maybe the whisper in my ear, maybe really it's I hear it in how the wind blows through the grass.
Right, right. And the other thing, I mean, one of the things that's happening with some of the work that I'm doing and some friends of mine as well is that, you know, we're really starting to tap into, you know, these other levels of the plants. And I'm talking common plants. I'm not talking ayahuasca
yes.
and peyote and all
yes,
that.
Yes, that's what we've been talking about
common
this whole...
plants here.
I want to be clear. That's what we've been speaking
yes,
about,
that's
the
what
whole
we're talking
conversation.
About. So, and
yes.
that's good to be clear about because oftentimes
yes.
people think that you're talking about psychotropic plants.
No, we're talking about dandelions.
We're talking about dandelion and nettles and
yeah,
you know,
yeah, totally. Thank you. I want to be very clear. That's why I made it a point of making a shift.
Yes, yes.
In the conversation.
Yes, and what I want to say about these very common plants is that when you begin to pay attention to them in this new way and you begin to make prayer with them and you begin to really make ceremony with them and make ritual with them. And, you know, one of the things that I've been doing is I have a labyrinth here, which was inspired by my friend Carol Guyot, who's Irish. She lives in Ireland and she has a beautiful labyrinth there. And she's one of the main persons who's doing this work with the plants right now, these real common plants of really, again, she's working in the dream time with them, so going into that dream time place where I'm not going to say they're psychotropic because they're not. You know, however, you have the ability to step into that, what would you call it, dream time space or
yes.
other dimension with these very common plants.
Yes.
So they, you know, they're not altering your, you know, brain chemistry like some plants do, but you are able to open up doors of perception with these very common plants. And so I've been experiencing that. You know, she's been doing work with that. You know, some of my students, one of my last classes I did in California, one of the young men in the class, we were working with sacred basil, and he said, I feel very different. What's going on here? I feel very different. And I was like, okay, you've opened up the door. You've opened up the doorway to another dimension with this plant. And so we can do this with very common plants without the wham-bam of, you know, like psychotropic plants are.
And with the gentleness,
yes,
that can fit into our lives and
that's
not
right.
shake up our lives too much all at once.
Yeah, yeah.
And with plants that are indigenous to
that's
our
right.
locale.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, and I say this I think it's a very important point.
I think so, too. I think it is, too.
That you're bringing up. And I think that, you know, the loudmouths do tend to get more attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that's all bad, but I think it's a very important point that you make that energetically when we connect, the lessons that can be taught can be extremely powerful. One more thing. I like your talking about the labyrinth and how you... I think the plants, for me, when I really come into relationship with them and start to hear them, take me and change this maze that I'm lost in. Because I don't know the way, and it's all mazes. You don't know how to get out of it. You're searching how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the plants take the maze and turn it into a labyrinth.
Oh,
and the labyrinth, I don't have to worry about how to, it's not about worrying about how to get out of it. It's just about being present. It's about putting one foot in front of the other
right.
and not having to worry that it takes you in the direction you need to go.
Right. You always end up in the center.
That's right. You don't have to worry about it. You
okay.
can let all that go.
That's right.
And just go on your journey. And the plants change my maze into a labyrinth.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. I love that. That's beautiful. Yes, that's exactly, you're right. That's exactly
yeah.
what it does,
yeah.
is that the plants bring you to the center of your being, where you
yeah.
can be completely present, walking the path you came here to walk without, you know, stumbling and, you know, big obstacles in your path. And,
right.
you know, I'm not saying that, you know, that you don't face challenges. I'm not saying that. But at least any challenge that you're presented with is, you know, you can be fully present with that in the fullness of your being. So, yeah. Yeah. So I have this labyrinth that I have here. I've been, these plants that I've been working with now for many years, I started making some essences out of them, some flower essences. Actually, they're plant essences. There's more than just flowers. So I put the leaves and the seeds and all that in there, too. And I started walking the labyrinth with these essences and sitting them in the middle of the labyrinth to be, so they're infused with the energy of the labyrinth. And with, I also have marble here that's a stone that's indigenous to this area where I live. And they sit on the marble. And boy, oh boy, those essences are jumped up several notches by working with the labyrinth. And what I found with the labyrinth is that it's a living temple. It's a, and there's a reason why people have been walking labyrinths for,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Thousands of years. So it's really, so I love how you phrase that about, you know, moving from a maze to a labyrinth because, that's, you know.
They reorganize things.
Yeah.
In a positive way that allows you to be present.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not worry about the twists and turns of life.
Right. Yeah. So one of the other things that that I'm finding about our relations to plants is that this is another piece of information that's coming out these days that's very interesting to me, is this thing called biophilia. Which is, I mean, basically it translates as love of nature, but or love of the natural world or those beings of the natural world. So, which obviously includes plants as well.
The term again?
Biophilia.
Yes.
Biophilia, and so now what's being looked at? This is so interesting. What's being looked at is whether we actually have an inherited gene that's there in us, an inherited gene, where we do have biophilia, where we have this love of nature or this love of plants, this inherited part of ourselves that has a need, an actual need to be close to plants, because we evolved from them, and because we have our life because of them, and that there's actually this inherited need to be, to not be separate from them, to not be, to, and so now what they're doing in different countries, in Japan, they're doing this, I just read an article about this called forest therapy. So they're taking, you know, executives and folks out to this particular forested area, and then they're monitoring their heartbeats and doing all that kind of stuff to see how they react. And of course, you know, different kinds of illnesses that they have and their heart rate and all that changes once, but they're actually realizing that, oh, this is a good thing to be near plants, and it's a good thing to be near trees. And so they're, in different places, they're starting to take people out to different, you know, natural areas to be in them, and then they monitor their response.
Well, that's no surprise to me.
Yeah. It's actually like, oh, you're just now thinking of that? You're just now getting around to that?
I know for myself, and I so appreciate the point you made about when you're in the city, the plants grown through the cracks in the
right.
sidewalk. And, oh, my God, if you're ever walking through a city and you come across a city garden,
oh
my God, it's so amazing.
I know. And there's
the
so
energy,
many...
everybody's juju that's in it.
Well, there's so many people doing that now too.
Yeah.
It's like taking the you know the lots that are all you know just trashed out and turning them into gardens. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, New York City is full of gardens now. It's just,
yes.
And I actually met a young man not too long ago, and he has a business in New York City where he's doing rooftop gardens. And I said, "Oh my gosh, how are you getting all the dirt up there?" He said, "Oh," he said, "my muscles are getting built up pretty good." But they're putting garden, like, I mean, big gardens, like vegetable gardens
right.
and all that
yeah,
on
yeah.
rooftops.
Raised bed gardens, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's exciting that that's happening in cities and that people in the cities can have that and not feel like they have to go way off somewhere to get a little bit of, you know, green.
Although at the same
energy.
Time, there is something about immersion in the natural world.
Oh, yeah.
That I think helps open us in different ways.
Oh, definitely.
And there's so many people who have never had that experience in their life.
Right, I know. Oh, that feels sad to me. When
yeah.
I hear you say that, my whole inside
really
kind of goes, oh,
sad.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, really sad.
Yeah.
I can
yeah,
remember
well,
when...
I know that where I live here, I live in Vermont, and...
Yes.
And, you know, Vermont is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful state. And where I live here, we call it Sweetwater Sanctuary because we have this beautiful stream that runs right down through the middle of the property. And there's the mountain that we live at the base of has marble inside it, so the water filters through the marble. So it's literally sweet. It has a very high pH. And so that's why we call it Sweetwater. But we call it a sanctuary because that's what it is. I mean, we have worked to, like, you know, lots of work with the plants here and lots of prayer and lots of ceremony and lots of ritual and everybody who comes here, they make their prayers. And so there's this amazing sanctuary atmosphere, you know, container that's been set here. And I, you know, when people come here, it's like they feel the difference, you know, because there's been this human-plant interaction happening, you know, working together to create a healing space, a healing environment that you just come into it and you become, you know, you can feel the healing taking place. So I think that sanctuaries, you know, should be everywhere across the country for the intent of healing, that when people walk into them, the healing vibration is there, and that just being with the plants, just being in their proximity is enough. It's like you don't even need to ingest them. And you know, I mean, actually, a lot of the science right now, the work of Fritz Popp, who's doing amazing work with plants, he's a German biophysicist, and what he's doing is he's the one that discovered that at the nucleus of all cells is biophotons, is light particles in plants and people, you know, all living organisms, at the nucleus of the cell is biophotons. And that, you know, the way we communicate actually at a fundamental level is by making a beam of light between us and the plants, us, you and me, whoever, you know, between cells. And so what the work he's doing that is so exciting and is that he's using the resonance, the frequency, the resonance signatures of the plants that have this light. And he's giving that to people, and we're not talking people with colds. We're talking cancer and big-time stuff. And what's happening is this resonant quality of the plant is, the way he refers to it, is re-informing the light in the nucleus of the cell. So it's re-patterning it, re-informing it away from cancer to health. Now,
And you have something to entrain to.
That's right. And so now that, to me, is like, that's leading edge. That is like, wow. And we're not talking even ingesting the plants with this. We're talking about the light quality.
The energetic signatures.
Yes. And just, you know, those, making those beams with people, and the, and it reinforces the light in the cells. Now that's exciting. So, anyway.
We're moving into probably the last, oh, 7 or 8 minutes, something like that. I would very much like you to give our listening audience contact information. And also, if you could mention if you're currently teaching or traveling and talking.
Mm-hmm. Seems like I'm always talking. I mean, I can't, it's hard to be quiet once you get me going on this.
What you have to say.
Well, thank you. Okay, so in contact information is where I live here in Vermont. It's in Danby, Vermont, and my teaching center is called Partner Earth Education Center, and our website is the same. I know it's a big, long thing, Partner Earth Education Center, but it's www.partnereartheducationcenter.com, so one big, long word. I also have another website called www.plantspirithealing, so maybe that would be one they'd remember a little bit more, plantspirithealing.com. Let's see. I do apprenticeships in plant spirit healing. So I do one here in Vermont, and we're just ending this one in Vermont next month. And then I do one in California as well. So usually they begin in the spring and end in the fall. And here in Vermont, we meet one long weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a month, May through October. And then in California, we do 4 4-day sessions.
Where in California?
Around Calistoga, a little bit northeast or so of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Is where I work out there. There's a conference coming up next weekend here in the Northeast in Massachusetts called the Healing with Flowers Conference, which the woman that I mentioned, Carol Guyett, whose labyrinth I got inspired by, she'll be coming over from Ireland. She's going to be teaching. David Dalton's going to be teaching. Steve Johnson, from the founder of the Alaskan Flower Essence Project, will be there. So that's next weekend in Roe, Massachusetts at Roe Conference Center. So that's going to be an exciting conference. And yeah, I teach around, and I do treatments with people. I do long sessions with people, and I do sessions here in Vermont with people, healing sessions. So I'm out and about.
Yeah, sounds
I actually will be in Maryland too. Now that we're talking about it, October 2nd through the 4th, I'm going to do a 3-day plant communication class in near Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah,
so that's another one.
The apprenticeships, are they for advanced students?
No, anybody can do that.
So that's
actually
for anybody.
You know what I have found? This is very interesting, but I have found that people who know a lot about plants, you know, who are herbalists, you know, is like they come in with this idea.
Yes, I hear you.
You know what I mean? Every little dandelion's in its little box, and nettle's in its little box, and so they come in with this real preconceived idea about what plants are. And I've actually found that people who don't know very much about plants are much more open to, you know, a more expanded view of plants. It's kind of interesting. But
because what we're talking about is not you teaching them about plants. We're talking, you're the matchmaker. You're like somebody who can introduce them and tell them, well, you know, when you're in this situation, you don't want to be rude. You want to, this is how you go about having a conversation.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, it's the plants that are doing the teaching.
Yeah, that's true. And really, you know, in any kind of healing modality or treatment as well, I mean, the plants are the ones that are doing the healing as well.
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing is, like, if you want to go into plant spirit healing or any kind of healing, and, you know, you can work with chakras with plant spirits, you can work in five element with plant spirits, you can work in any modality with plant spirits, really. And what you're doing is, like, you're just, you know, you're like the door opener. You're like saying, you know, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I think, could you go in there and do that healing there? I mean, that's really what it is. So it's about your relationship with the plant. So the deeper and more intimate your relationship is with the plant, the more efficient and effective the healing is, because the plant's really doing the healing, and you're just asking it to do the healing on your behalf.
And it's the same thing. You can think about it the same way as a relationship with another individual.
Mm-hmm.
The longer you have that relationship with that individual, the more you learn how to trust them.
Right.
You know, and what they're good at, and what you need somebody else to help you with.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So I'm just I teach people, I provide a container for them. I teach them how to be in relationship with plants is really what it is. It's really about how to be in relationship with the plants to the point at which the plant actually gives you, you deepen your relationship to the point at which the plant gives you its healing gifts. I call them its healing gifts, which are on, can be on many levels. And you, they live inside you. And then you, together with the plant, that plant that lives inside you, then together you can transfer those healing gifts to another. So that's what I help people to do, is to, for their own personal healing, for others' healing, for the health of the planet, for healing on the planet. So it can happen on many levels as well, this healing. And it's pretty crucial timing right now that we get on with this healing that needs to happen planetary-wide.
Soon.
Oh, yeah.
The teaching that you've been doing, how long have you been teaching?
Oh, my gosh. Now, see, now you're going to date me, aren't you? Let's see.
I'm just curious.
1987?
Mm-hmm.
1987.
And is that plant spirit healing that you were teaching at that time?
Yes,
I know it's a transition, but I mean, you came from more traditional herbal background?
Yes, I trained as an herbalist, and I definitely, you know, I mean, I use herbs, and, you know, so that's the other thing about it. You know, the spirit of the plants is, it's an aspect of plants. You know, they have a physical aspect just like we do.
Yeah.
You know, there's heart, soul, and spirit. So there's all these aspects. And so my thing is that, like, I'm not saying let's kick out the tinctures and all of that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that at all. I definitely use, you know, plants, and I use flower essences, and I use plant spirits. It's like, what I'm saying is, like, these plants are huge. They're magnanimous beings. They're these huge beings that can do so much more than what we have thought that they could do. So why not? Why not let's work on all these levels? If we want to talk about whole person healing, we want to talk about whole being healing, well, then let's do that. Let's work on all levels, not just the physical level with the plant. But so yes, I trained as an herbalist, and so I know all about those chemical constituents and all that kind of stuff. And I have found over the years that there's way more. So, so let's see. How long have I been teaching plant spirit healing? Probably 12 or years or more.
We have about a minute left. How about a real brief inspirational message for our listening audience?
A brief inspirational message, okay. Well, I believe that we need to change the story. So we tell a different story. And we talked earlier about the paradigm shift, and I believe that the way in which we really make a change on this planet right now, my partner Mark and I were just having this conversation this morning. How is it really going to change? Is it going to change through politics? I don't think so. It's going to change because each one of us makes a change. And so we tell a different story, and that story changes the paradigm. So you tell your story about the plants. You tell your story about how a plant changed your life, how a plant saved your life. You tell your story about how the conversation you had with that plant and what shifted for you or not, you know, or this plant is my friend. You tell a different story. You tell your children a different story, and that's how things change. That's how this planet's going to change, and that's how we will all change, and our culture will change, and we will live in a paradigm that's life-giving instead of a paradigm that is not life-giving, or a paradigm that destroys. So what we want to do is tell a new story, tell a life-giving story. So we talk about that.
Speak up.
That tree of life. Build it into a tree of life.
This is Dr. Rick Lofine, Temple of Health Radio Show. We've been speaking with Pam Montgomery in her book, Plant Spirit Healing, A Guide to Working with Plant Consciousness. Her website, plantspirithealing.com. Pam, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you, Rick.
And I hope to have another one sometime.
All righty. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plastico's were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plastico's and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plastico's did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plastico's is a bargain.
Plastico's, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.
Don't you just hate trying on bathing suits?
Wait a minute. You look great. Plastic surgery?
Not surgery. I got an endermology treatment from the experts at Plastikos.
What's endermology?
Endermology is the terrific non-surgical treatment that Europeans have been using for years to tone skin and contour the body. Endermology by Plastikos feels great, and you can see the difference it makes.
No kidding. Who do I call?
Plastikos, a leader in plastic and reconstructive surgery, is the number one center in Atlanta offering endermology. For more information and a complimentary consultation and treatment, call Plastikos at 770-457-4677. Plastikos Endermology Skin Toning and Body Contouring, 770-457-4677. Headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally.